I'm the anchor, dude. I have to bring it home.
The anchor.
You know, when they do DP in porn and there's always some poor schmuck on the bottom that, like, gets fucked by all the other guys, basically. He's called the anchor, dude.
Welcome
I think that's an
to...
insult now after you explain things.
It is totally an insult. This is the DL Gaming Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking about Nova Drift, Soulstone Survivors, Phasmophobia, Chess.com, and also Gamescom. Oh, I wanted to do this intro in German. Fuck, I knew I was forgetting. Autobahn. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Nick.
I guess I'm Bobby.
And I just woke up. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. Somebody say something.
This episode of the DL Gaming Podcast is brought to you by reviews. Leave us reviews wherever the fuck you listen to us, on Apple, Spotify, your mom's house, whatever you listen to. Go ahead and leave us reviews. You can also leave us reviews on Steam and stuff like that. Super important that you guys interact with us so the podcast gets spread. You can leave reviews for either one of our shows, and we get benefits from it. So thank you, and keep reviewing.
Did you just secretly plug another podcast while you're plugging our podcast?
That's, you know, so it's a weird talent, dude. I've been working on it for like all summer.
Whatever you want to review, feel free. There's another but whatever you want to do, you know, there is another podcast. Yeah.
I can't tell you what to do, okay? Like, legally, I can't.
So Gamescom happened this weekend, and I thought it was one of the best Gamescoms that I've ever seen. I went in it with low expectations. Bobby posted the list of games they were going to talk about, and I thought, well, we've probably heard all we're going to hear from a lot of the, I guess there were some question marks, but nothing that was really going to get me pumped. And then I was like, Balatro and Dave the Diver. And then I was going, you know, I think that was the first game that I remember. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good show. And that was the pre-show. Did you guys end up catching the show? And what did you think if you did?
I enjoyed the pre-show, dude. It was just like a guy in his room. Yeah. Just like speaking normally, but kind of funny. I love that guy. He nailed it, dude.
This
with
is the
so
pre-show.
Little tools. Yeah,
this is,
it was so
this
great.
Is the pre-show. And it's actually pretty good. Here's a game. Then there's the, like, simple, amazing, great. Yeah. Nick, what did you think about it?
I ended up watching the show in like 1.75 speed.
Nice, pulling the old Bobby.
I like good. Yeah.
Should we email them and let them know they need to speak slower so that you can pull off even higher speeds?
Jeff, slow it down.
Slow it down. We got people listening very fast. No, I liked it a lot. I think the production of it goes up every year as far as like quality and things like that. I think the things that they try, like the guy in the beginning was really nice. Like every year, whenever they do something like that, it seems that either flops or does really good. And I liked it. It was pretty interesting.
So I skipped all of the like fluff in between. I just went from trailer to trailer to trailer.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a lot of like... they're promoting themselves because it's a huge convention, right? So everybody's just trying to, or they're letting everybody know that they're not talking to the people at home. They're talking to the people in the audience, like, come see this booth and go do that. And like, you know, a lot of self-promotion, which you don't really get at the Video Game Awards because it's only the Video Game Awards. It's not a convention as well.
Yeah.
And
so actually, Bobby, maybe you go, what did you think about the show?
I thought it was good. I think this might have been the first year that I've ever watched it front to back, like just top to bottom. But I felt like there was actually a lot less fluff. So I didn't catch the pre-show, but I watched the rest of it. And the Video Game Awards, in my opinion, has a lot more of those like acts. They do things on stage, introduce people, bring them up to talk. Yeah. And this one, they kept it moving pretty quickly. And they covered a lot of games. I mean, there was maybe, 40 games that they went through? I'm just guessing here. But if you look on the YouTube channel, like, or the YouTube video, they'll top comment is going to be like all the marks of when they're talking about which games, and there's a ton of them there. Like, it was just back-to-back trailers, but I don't think all the trailers were very good. Some of them didn't have a whole lot to show off. They were just teaser trailers. I understand that, but some of them did a really good job and some of them I felt did a really bad job. But first, I want to talk about the game that stood out to me the most, Linked: Banner of the Spark. I don't know why, but this game seemed like, out of all the games they talked about, this seemed like the one that I would play. I don't know how you guys feel about it. When you talk about what the game is, it doesn't sound like that inventive. It's an action roguelike where you go out and beat up monsters in like an isometric brawler, beat 'em up kind of style. You get their parts, you bring them back, and you build a base out of them. But I like the animation style. It just seems like a fun game. I don't know. Out of all the ones, that was my favorite.
It's funny because, you know, if you're doing that out of robots, you're like, oh, you end up with like a futuristic city. You do that out of animals and monsters. It's a horror show, dude. You built your fucking place out of fucking sinew and blood. It's fucking disgusting. So that's, I'm glad that they went with robots.
I never would have pegged you for this, Bobby.
Yeah, this was completely under my radar. I didn't even look at it, really. I zoomed right past it. Maybe it's going to be good, though.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not one of those really... It probably is, though. One of those really super grindy, like... what is the vampire one? V something?
V Rising.
Yeah, V Rising.
Yeah. V Rising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried it's going to be like that, but... I don't know. Maybe it won't be. The other game that caught my attention too was Predecessor, and this is the game that kind of rose from the ashes of Paragon with the assets that were discarded from that game. But it's a MOBA, free to play. It's out right now. Someone in our Discord was even posting about playing it. I don't know if it's something I'm going to get super into, but I'm definitely going to check that one out at some point.
Yeah, so it's out already. I was surprised. It's a 74% right now. The recent is mostly negative though. So I don't know if they did something shitty recently. So that must have dropped from like maybe an 80% that it was probably doing so well, and they changed something. But yeah, I was also when I saw this, I was like instantly I knew what it was. You know, it's Epic scrapped one of these games and then just gave all the assets out for free. So Predecessor took up the scraps, and it's been years now. It's been at least 4 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've played this game, or it's confusing to me
because
there
was another one, dude. I think
I've played two of these games with the old Paragon assets in a Paragon. I swear I played Predecessor, and I'm going just through the recent reviews wondering why it's so negative, and one of the top guys, got to smash them all with 109 hours in Predecessor, says game is very toxic and there's no way to learn how to play the game. So basically you bot matches that are too easy, then you go into matches where you're teamed up with others who have no clue against players who shit on you. So that
typical
was also
MOBA,
my
basically
but
yeah,
was
exactly
my dude. No, because
this,
I
this
swear
guy's I'm, first MOBA I'm, ever what's the deal here
I'm this is version 1.0 that just came out, but I'm pretty sure this game has been out for a long time. Predecessor, maybe under a different name. I'm scrolling back in their news. Yeah, they've had news since November 23rd 2023, so this game has been out for a long time. I think this is the one that I played, and I swear to God I went in and I said, hey guys, I love Paragon, what's like a good build, or where should I find a good build? What's like a good noob hero? And immediately people were like, get out of this lobby. Fuck you. I was in like a casual, I wasn't in a ranked match. I was just in a normal match, and I've met with all this hostility. So if the community,
the server name,
you
was
probably deserved it.
Beginner's Sunshine was the server name.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not super surprised by those negative reviews. If the community just hates new people, maybe they're like, we've been playing Paragon before it was cool, you know, before it was
playing it in alpha, damn it.
Yeah.
So things that stood out to me, it's funny because I had no notes as of like 4 minutes before the podcast because I was asleep with my toddler. Like, I just got sucked into a fucking K-hole, a kindergarten hole.
Jeez.
So I think maybe because Christian just threw some things in there that he knew that I would be interested in. He mostly nailed it, 50% there. Borderlands 4, if you're gonna watch a graph of like how good their games are, I feel like started really well, and then 2 really hit the pinnacle, and then it's just been a fucking landslide since after that. So I don't expect much.
Did you end up seeing the movie? You said you were going to. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Fuck you and fuck Bobby. Bobby, have you seen the movie yet?
No, not yet.
No, jeez. You said you were gonna see it. I'm all alone out here with no one to back me up.
I'm not contractually obligated to watch the movie, so I'm good.
This movie, it was so good. Sorry to interrupt.
Sam and I have been trying to watch Wolverine and Deadpool since it came out. Like, we just can't, dude. It's just so hard. So that's not very high on my list. Anyway, Secret Level, which, by the way, I love the fucking name.
This should be so good.
This should be the Secret Level podcast. Like, I love the things that are named after tropes in games. Love, Death, and Robots. The first season fucking was incredible. It's a bunch of vignettes, anywhere from 9 minutes to 30 minutes of random little stories, I guess, in high fidelity, usually high fidelity animation.
And every episode's animation style is different.
Yeah, yeah. They have nothing to do with each other. It's like a curated
There's a rumor group. That there is. That there,
oh,
that
there is. Like a, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Especially on the first season, I think. Second season wasn't as good as the first, and the third wasn't as good as the first, but still totally watchable. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. Anyway, those guys went and got IPs from a bunch of games, like 20 games, and made episodes. And man, was this guy, the guy who went up there and talked about it, he got all choked up, started crying.
Such a good delivery. Like, he was nervous, but like his heart was in it. Like that mix is super relatable. Yeah.
Do you want me to name off the games that are going to be there, like going to be on it? Because there's insane titles on
it. If you could do it in 10 seconds, do it.
Pac-Man, Warhammer 40K, Concord, Mega Man, Unreal Tournament, New World, Eternium, Armored Core, Spelunky, Honor of Kings, Sifu, Dungeons & Dragons, The Outer Worlds, Crossfire, Exodus, and a PlayStation thing.
Yeah, Concord? I feel like they had to put Concord and New World because they like to pay the bills. And then someone was like, fuck it, I love Warhammer. Let's put that on. You know, like,
yeah, there's been a lot of teases and stuff regarding that, that like whole, like, people are like, there's a new animation team coming to Warhammer, and people are like, what the fuck is this? And, that's what it is.
That's crazy that there's, this whole, the little movie, the vignette might be longer than a play session. Cause that will kill you quick, man.
My shortest Spelunky game is literally 1.8 seconds, dude.
Bobby, I'm surprised that the Indiana Jones games is not on your list.
No, there really wasn't too much to say about it. So they had some footage of it. Looked good. I like the way that they did the trailer, too, with Troy Baker in the mocap suit. That was cool. But the big news on that is they have a date. So December 9th is when that game is coming out. And it's also also announced that it's going to be on PlayStation later next year. But yeah, that was the big news as far as that. Everything else we already knew.
I didn't know you were an Indiana guy, Bobby.
Indiana Jones?
You like the Jones? Fan of Dr. Jones?
Yeah, you know what's funny? And this is like a real hot take. I don't like Temple of Doom. Like, I like Raiders and I like Last Crusade, and that's kind of about it. Like, the other ones are all pretty mediocre for me. So, I don't know.
That's for me.
You've angered dozens of people.
I think the worst one is the Crystal Skull. That's the one I was like.
Oh, dude, it's the worst. They totally crowbarred that in. They were trying to make Shia LaBeouf fucking popular, and it was just not a good idea. They were trying to get him to become Indiana Jones after, and all this other shit.
Yeah, I think it would make for a good game, though. I think they got a good game on their hands. Plus, it's Machine Games. They really did a good job with the Wolfenstein game, so I'd trust them with that. I'm sure it'll be good. But let's talk about the trailers. So there were a lot of them. And like I said, there were a lot of teaser trailers, and you don't expect much from those. They're basically saying, look, here's a game. And that's it. You know, and they were very quick, especially when you're watching it in 1.75x speed. But but I feel like game trailers are a complicated thing because they're trying to sell the game, get people excited about the game, and give you a good idea of what the game is like to play. And it's two completely different mediums. Playing a video game and watching footage of a video game are completely different. So it's always been a real challenge to make a video game trailer that really tells you what it's like, what the experience is like to play this game. But there were a few that I thought did a fantastic job. And they did this in two ways. One, showing a lot of gameplay. And number two, a lot of them just started explaining the game. I mean, it was just like a trailer where for instance, Peter Molyneux was talking about Masters of Albion and just saying like, this is what you do. And then you can do this and move that character mm-hmm. here. And was just like walking you through the game itself with a ton of gameplay. Now that game, I don't know if it's going to be really good. I don't know if I want to make a sandwich for every villager in my town, but
could you imagine that game trailer with him not walking through? Just like visually, they're like, oh, put a sword on the sandwich and look, your guy can use the sword sandwich to fight monsters. You're like, what is happening yeah. here? Build his house, put the ham sandwich on his house. You like without him voicing over, like I feel like that would kind of lose a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought they did a good job with that one. Also, I have no interest in Call of Duty Black Ops 6, but I thought their trailer was really well done. They brought some people up to talk about it. They did a ton of gameplay and they fast-forwarded through the boring parts and they showed off all the different weapons and the mechanics of the game. And I don't know. I thought that was really well done. It's hard to sell a Call of Duty game. There's another trailer that I thought did a really poor job. That was Arena Breakout in Infinite. It just looked like a very generic first-person shooter. And for someone like me who's been playing video games for decades, first-person shooters are like the oldest genre out there. It's like I've been doing this, you know, for like over 30 years. And I saw that and I was like, there's nothing interesting about this. But then you look at Call of Duty Black Ops 6 and it's like, well, this is a first person shooter too, but they managed to really convey what it was like to play the game with that trailer. Like they did a really good job on it. So good for
them. I haven't played a Call of Duty game in so long, Bobby, and watching that trailer, especially when they were going into like the camera work of like the detective work you were doing in the campaign, I was like, that's kind of cool. It's not all about shooting yeah. and blowing shit up. And then
that's,
you can
that's
like,
a recent change, by the way.
You can like guide the knife. You can guide the knife through the air. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, am I gonna play a fucking Call of Duty?
It looked
game?
Like fun. Yeah, it looked like fun. Yeah. It almost like I'm not gonna buy that day one, but you know, it almost made me want to play a Call of Duty game.
So because of what you guys are saying, I was fast forwarding right through that. And I was like, oh my God, like, because out of all the things I fast forwarded through, that one took the longest. I was like, right. Oh, they paid for half the fucking event. Now, obviously.
Yeah. This is all Activision's. Bullshit.
Yeah. I'm going all through the bullshit. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. And then I let a little bit play. And a little bit play was the elevator scene where they're like climbing through and then fucking falls or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at
yeah.
the end of it, I was like, oh shit. Like that was intense, dude. Like yeah. that was pretty well done. So yeah, the little bit that I saw, I still thought was good.
It's crazy that you watched it at 1.7 and I think it's a testament to like the trailer and their showcase was really good. Like you remember, Bobby remembers, I remember, Nick, like we all are on the same page. We remember. I can't say that about whatever game Bobby just talked about. Already forgot Infinity.
No, yeah, me neither. That one that he was like, this is the one I think I'm going to play the most. I didn't remember shit about that.
No, not the, that one. The one he said that was bad.
The sandwich one. Infinite. Yeah.
Yes.
You guys are going to laugh at what I thought was the best trailer. I thought that Goat Simulator Remastered had the best fucking trailer.
So
I was
good.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, what is this? I was what is it? I was like, how are they getting different IPs and putting it all in the same trailer? Is it a prison where different bad video game players are kept? What's going on? And then the fake devil goat or whatever it was, like, so funny, dude. It was so good.
I love, dude, Goat Simulator has been killing their humor for like the last 12 years. Like every time they do something, it's always hilarious.
Yeah
they really know how to make a sandbox game that is just all comedy.
I don't know, I
that was good. Check it out.
As far as my favorite,
go ahead. I was just going to talk about how much I don't like Goat Simulator, but that's okay.
Don't you like Goat Simulator? Okay, this is a point of talking. Okay. Like, I'm but not going to like glance
trailer?
Over that.
Did you like
that
the trailer?
I thought the trailer was funny. Yeah, I thought they did a good job with the trailer. But the game itself, I'm just like, I don't know. It was like, to me, it was the epitome of like, ooh, look at me, I'm funny meme. You know, it's just like I don't know. Like, I just didn't really get the humor. It was just.
You hate funny people. Is that fair?
I don't know. I think I have a more refined sense of humor, I guess.
Okay. Got it.
He's got the British sense of humor.
All right, Nick, what do you got?
My favorite trailer. I don't know if it counts as a trailer, but it was the full explanation of how Civ has changed.
So that wasn't in the show, but after
that wasn't in the show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah,
yeah, dude. Do you guys know anything about this, Amelia or Bobby?
I mean, I saw when they were talking about, like, we started as the first game, and it shows the first game. But that is that what you're talking about?
No. So they had a little explanation of like what are the massive changes that are coming to the game, right? And what they're keeping in from the previous one. So they're keeping in natural disasters and shit like that. But the way that they're changing the game is that they're changing the ages into three ages. And every time you advance through an age, you choose a new civilization. But the thing is, to be able to choose a certain civilization, you have to hit certain monumental goals. Like your production has to be a certain amount to probably get to like China or the United States. You have to like, and then there's isn't it ancient, modern, and then postmodern are all three of the ages, I believe. And the way that combat works now is that you can have like a general for your army, and if there's like a little like impasse that you can get through, you can put all your units into your general, or 5 to 6 units into your general, and then walk it through instead of having to like take like 10 turns to get through a little impasse.
They're simplifying the game in every way, even with taking out workers, getting rid of city spam, like cutting down on cities. You build towns instead of cities, but they contribute production to your cities. Like all the changes they did, I was like, great. I'm down with the Civ. Like I'm excited.
Seems like something people would be upset about.
They were.
You believe it or not, like the way they, yeah, some people were, but some people were excited. The way that the civilizations work, I think, is genius, because there's so many civilizations that fall off late game or they suck fucking early game. And like with the fact that you start off with like all these Mesoamerican, Middle Eastern, ancient Mediterranean civilizations first, and then you go to like your French Revolution to like all the way to World War II, and then you go to whatever countries are after that. And the thing is, they haven't released the full list of countries and civilizations and leaders. But like one of the cool ones is that you can pay as the Shawnee Indians and have Tecumseh as your leader, which is like, I always love when indigenous peoples from the Americas are involved, whether it be North or South America. I think they're just some of the coolest cultures. But it just seems really, really interesting how they're balancing things and how they're changing things. I think some of the biggest problems that were headaches in Civ 6 have either been fixed. But I think this is one of the things where I agree on Sniper for once, where there are a lot of people that don't like it, but there are a lot of people that do like it, and they're fighting on the internet quite a bit. So
it's a civil war of civilized. No, I don't know. I saw this quote from Sid Meier, and I thought it was interesting. I haven't heard it before. He said, "With every Civ game, a third of the game should change completely. A third should only be iterated and improved upon, and a third should stay the same." That's kind of their goal, as he said it, for every Civ game. And I felt like if I look back to Civ 6, they did kind of do that, but maybe just in ways that weren't really for me. And now with Civ 7, I feel like they're coming home to Papa, and it's time to play. You know, like you're going through all these ages, and you're encouraged to build buildings on your previous buildings, like in real life, right? Mm. Like there's a catastrophic event, and now you are a new civilization building upon the ruins of the old. And I think that's beautiful. That makes me want to play the game. It's something that hasn't been in the games before. So bravo. So Nick,
it's like impossible to finish the game as the Shawnee Indians, you're saying.
Yes. Right? Okay. Yeah. It is like you go to the Shawnee into like Russia, and then you go into like whatever the postmodern, like whatever, like you don't essentially, there's no like timeline. It's like, hey, I'm picking all the
right.
the North American civilizations. That's not how it works. So when you choose like whatever civilization you start off with, let's say that you want to choose another civilization, you might have to have a certain science score and a certain production score. Like you have to hit these things to be able to choose that certain one.
That's cool, because I imagine like you're in a certain part in the game, right? Maybe you're behind in a certain thing, you need to catch up. Maybe you go with a civilization that's good with whatever it is, that whatever card you've been dealt
for. A little bit of a comeback mechanic for sure.
Yeah.
Something that the Civ games were missing a lot in multiplayer. If you were behind, good fucking luck, dude.
You were screwed. If you didn't get lucky and you didn't find like the ancient ruins first, like you were
exactly.
fucked.
If you didn't find Niagara Falls with +10 food, just quit the game.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Let me kick around a few other things that really stood out to me. Roadcraft, I don't know. Not at all my kind of game, but I thought the trailer was really well done. I got it. I thought the graphics were good. I instantly sent this to Captain Gummy because he always plays a ice trucker or whatever, yeah. Like rescue or whatever.
This is the same company. And by the way, this game enthralled me. I was watching with my coworkers and I was like, well, we've seen the star of the show as a joke. And they were like, shut the fuck.
Yeah. Now, what Bobby was saying about, what is it called? Nobody can remember what the hell game you talked about. But my version of that is Begone Beast. I thought the trailer was really good. It kind of let you know what you were doing. It's 4-player hack and slash co-op where you play as a cute little animal person and you hack away nightmares. And this looks really well done. I thought the trailer was really well done. That was one of my favorites. We Harvest Shadows was one of my favorite things for the whole show. Mostly because Sam, my girlfriend, is like so into Animal Crossing right now, and sometimes it just makes me want to throw up with the cuteness. I mean, it's so cute. But this is somebody, because I listened to the interview afterwards, so this guy during the pandemic was stuck in his house like a lot of people, just playing Animal Crossing, and he's just like, it got me through that. And then he said while he was playing that, there were some depressing times because you're just stuck in your house, and he was just thinking, how could I turn this game around to not just be cozy, but to be anti-cozy, to like you get settled in, you like what you're doing, you're planting your crops, and then fucking horrors come out of the forest at night. So I think it was just really well done. You could tell that the person was depressed. You could just really tell what he was trying to put down. So I thought that was very interesting and
that one
novel.
That one stood out to me from the pre-show because it was like obviously the developer's personal journey, you know?
Yeah.
And he just articulated that really well on what being
he did.
What would a gameplay loop of you being depressed and your nightmares coming alive and you trying to survive feel like? And the gameplay looked fun, you know? But also, it kind of hit home. So totally, that's one that I'm excited for.
Yeah.
You know, it's surprising to kind of like in the same kind of vein is that I was expecting a trailer or some sort of anything about Tales of the Shire. And there was no mention of it because like Tales of the Shire is this thing that's being really touted as like the next Animal Crossing, but it's in the Lord of the Rings universe. And people were surprised, and include myself, that there was no talk or trailer or anything about Tales of the Shire. And I was just kind of surprised.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Maybe a delay-poo.
We're not going to be ready for Gamescom. They're running around like crazy.
They're smoking pipe weed. They're celebrating 100th birthdays. Fuck.
Bobby and I both like the same game here, or call attention to Batman Arkham Shadow. I thought, it looks like a full-fledged video game in VR. I'm fucking guilty of this. Most VR games I just shrug off. I barely even look into them just because most of them are experiences and not games. But this looks like a full-on game where you're Batman, and it looks like they fucking did some cool shit. What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, so the reason I put this down here was because I didn't...
Because it sucks. And you're stupid, Emilio.
VR games are dead. You're an idiot.
No, I didn't realize it was a VR game. And I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, that's really interesting. They went first person POV on this. And I think I remember in the other Arkham games, there was a way to go first person point of view, but I don't think he ever did it because it was just so much easier to play third person. So I thought that was an interesting choice. And then I saw, oh, it's in VR. That's why they did it. So yeah, I mean, that could be really cool. I mean, that's honestly like Half-Life going in VR. You know, they're going to do a good job with that because these Arkham games, like they put a lot of money and effort into those and they turn out really well. I mean, they all kind of blend together like I talked about last week, but still, I think they're going to do a good job with that game.
Yeah. So that's a wrap up. Any last words on Gamescom till next year?
Like half a page,
dude. Ooh, yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Sorry.
Does anyone have anything else? We haven't even talked about Dune yet, bro. Are you fucking kidding?
Oh, sorry.
No, gee. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that did look good, though.
It did.
Well, this was also in my list of games that did a really good job with the trailer. They explained the universe. They explained what you do. And it was really hard to understand what is Doom? It's an MMO, but nobody uses that term anymore, I think, because they're afraid that it's like a bad thing to call your game now, because every MMO except WoW flops. So you don't want to associate yourself with that word. But I had a hard time kind of understanding what exactly do you do in this big open world. And they did a really good job in the trailer explaining everything. And yeah, man, I don't think I have the time for a game like that. But if I did, that'd be the game I'd play.
The Sands of Arrakis call for Bobby. I hear them in the night.
Christian,
I think that's called schizophrenia, dude.
Christian, I'll tell you what I interpreted, and tell me if that's what you picked up. It seems like there's an area where there's no PvP, and people build up their bases in that area, but then all the good resources are in the PvP area. And so as your civilization base grows, you have to go into this PvP area and potentially run into other players for the spice. That's what I got out of it.
I think
that's 100% correct.
Pretty accurate, except for where you build your bases, because you can build your bases in areas that are open for PvP. And I think there was bonuses there. And also the capital, like Arrakeen, where you start the game, I think puts a lot of training wheels on you. And it seemed like you're walking through the story of the game, and then there's a certain part where the story ends, and now you are in the open world. Kind of like what Eve did, if anyone played that.
Throw that out there, dude. I was going to be like, this is Eve-ish.
You were in Corpsec space until you reached a certain level and finished up the story. And then, okay, now the world or the universe is yours. So
one thing I didn't catch is this truly an MMO, or is it like a situational thing where essentially it's like Ark, where there's servers and then things change as servers go on.
So they said
server to server.
They're still being cheeky with the exact number. Maybe they don't even know what's the appropriate number. Development might not 100% be wrapped, but 100 sounds good. 100 sounds like I can share a world with, you know, there's room for Bobby in 100. In a couple hundred, you know, that's and Nick too, you know, we can be
and
water salesmen
guilds too, so you can team up. I don't know how that looks exactly, but there is some way to co-op this.
I think what would be really interesting is that if they did area-based sharding, where it kind of, this is what kind of happens in WoW, where there's literally millions of people logged in, and the only people that you interact with are the only people in that area, in the sense where there is no, how do I say this? There's essentially micro servers, and everybody's on their own micro servers, but there's this huge overworld that ends up happening. It's going to be interesting with buildings and stuff like that.
Why would you recommend they dumb down their game to World of Warcraft? We're talking about an immersive open world, Nicholas. We don't have room for sharding, okay? Get your sharding out of here, okay?
No, I shard all the time.
If you're out there in Dune Awakening seems fun to you, its release date is announced early 2025, so no specifics yet. But as a community, I think one of the funnest things we've done is all go into New World together and experience that.
That was definitely interesting.
That was fun. And we went to the New World alphas and betas as a group, and that's the most fun I've had in an MMO in a long time, you know? So I'm hoping maybe we can recreate some of the same energy and feeling with Dune Awakening's release, where it's going to be new and exciting for all of us. And if the servers can handle hundreds of people, maybe we can have a little DLG guild and carve out a corner of the desert just for us, guys. Come on, you know, get our tans in.
I'm scared. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I talked about the trailers that I thought did a really great job of explaining their game.
Now comes the belt.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ones that did a very poor job. And I hate to single these ones out because there were a few of them, but the ones that I wrote down were Infinity Nikki, Genshin Impact, and to an extent, the other Hoyoverse games too. So they had these very flashy, quick cutting, very stylized, very catchy, a lot of music. They had those types of trailers playing. And after watching it, I was like, I mean, that was kind of entertaining, but what's your game?
What is like, it? Yeah.
What is it? And I think there might be a cultural thing, because I noticed it a lot more with the Japanese or the Chinese games. And I think that's much more of a, that type of style is much more accepted in trailers. And also there's probably already a familiarity with some of these games, so people don't really need to have it explained to them. But I don't know. That's my least favorite type of trailer. And I feel like that's what a lot of video game trailers were like 15 years ago, where it was just like, that's all you saw was just like cinematics and like real flashy stuff. And then you got the game and you're like, oh, this is nothing like what that's nothing like the emotion that you were selling in the trailer, you know?
Right. Yeah.
The Genshin Impact ones, it seems like they were just introducing two new characters. And yeah, they know their audience, you know, they'll just be like...
Yeah, I think we all know.
It's kind of like Terry Bogard just came out for Street Fighter VI. That was in the thing too. And they don't even talk about Street Fighter VI at all. They just like, here's Terry Bogard. This is what he does. That's it.
That's it.
That's all. And Bobby, I hear... I see rather that you have hate against your northern neighbors.
I just, you know, sometimes I forget that Jeff Kiley is Canadian and then he says Diablo and I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wrote it.
He is
so,
the Diablo. That makes him Diablo. The Diablo.
You wrote it so phonetically appropriate here. Yeah, as in like, yeah, bro. Blow. I love that. That's good.
Because he hides it really well. And then he says that one word and you're like, ah, gotcha.
I thought he was German from the intro. I was like, holy crap, is this guy? No, that's a joke. Sorry. There's that new Sims game in Zoi, and it looks so interesting. Maybe that's the right word, because it's in Unreal Engine 5. A lot of these games are coming out, and I'm starting to realize, guys, they're sitting in my uncanny valley. Like all the UE5 games, I'm like, a little too glossy, a little too shy. Like something about them is a little off to me, and I'm not sure I like the animation style of the games coming out of the new Unreal Engine, including this new Sims game. Did this stop your attention at all?
I think a lot of the Unreal 5 engine games, like you said, kind of blend together, or it's too shiny or it's too nice.
There's something.
There's something about, there's like a lifelessness, right? It's like a fucking, I don't know how to say it, but I agree with you.
Over polished. I thought it was The Sims. I thought EA was going to pop up any second now. Like, they even talk in the goofy little voice and everything.
Yeah.
And I, you know, eat a lot of these stuff. So, We Harvest Shadows, I showed Samantha and I was like, you're going to love this. And she's like, I want to play it now. I was like, perfect. Sent the other one over to Captain Gummy. And then when I saw that one, I was like, oh, I got to send this to Chi. Because she's super Simsy.
The thing with The Sims that I enjoy is like the architecture, building and designing. And the things that I don't like are kind of managing the day to day. Like I make it a spaghetti as The Sims and I have to like learn art and I have to art at my easel for 7 hours a day. And then I have to poo. I don't like the life management. And the kind of shitty thing.
I make it a spaghetti.
I make it a spaghetti. I was wanting to do a Sims voice, but I forget how they talk. Blarshmark. Well, and this game, this game seemed more on the life side, but when they were demonstrating the architecture side, the shitty things about The Sims is like, it's like $900 for all the things that you can put in a house and the special walls and the three-story buildings and Sims apartments and Sims parks. And, this game, I looked at the Steam page. There doesn't seem to be anything else they're selling you except the game, and the architecture tools seem to be super cool. Yet.
There's a big ol' yet next to that.
As opposed to Masters of Albion, dude, I thought like it's so interesting that you have this little culture or this little city or town or whatever, and it seems like the only part, other than being a god and moving shit around at your whim, you are in charge of design, it seems like.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you're in charge of, really. They kind of go about their lives and take care of this stuff, and then you can design the buildings, the weaponry, their food. You design everything. You are their culture, I guess. It was so cool.
It's an interesting premise. I don't think there's a game like this out there. The old black and white games, kind of, you pick up your little guy, but that you can zoom in to first person. There was this old RTS game like Age of Empires, and it was pretty much exactly Age of Empires, but the only different thing is when you built a hero character, it became like a first person fighting game. You would like a hack and slash.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was so fun. And I haven't played a game like that. And this is what that reminded me of, because you can do the same thing, go into a character and embody it. But I was really hyped about this. I was telling all my coworkers, and then one of them sent me this article, and the headline is, controversial game designer Peter Molyneux wants to prove that not everything I say is a promise that's going to be broken. And I have to remember to temper my expectations a little bit, because, you know,
we saw it. Like, he's not promising anything we didn't see, you know?
Yeah.
All right, lawyer fucking Emilio.
No, but yeah.
It's a good point. It's a decent point.
Before he was like, you are going to be a god of a universe and be able to do, like, and you're like, really? Bobby, was he the guy who, did he come up with that game where everybody bought like little picks and everybody tried to pick to the center of this giant virtual block? Was he the guy?
Yeah, I think that
you
was
remember
him.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. And this game is funded on his last crypto game. That didn't do so well. It folded, but he turned people's in-game assets into cash and funded this game when it folded. So, by the way, crypto people, the promise that you're in your crypto game, it's going to be yours forever. Peter Molyneux says, nope, this is now going to be Masters of Albion. So think twice before you spend your hard-earned cash crowdfunding a game you didn't even know existed.
Hmm. All right. When I watched this Gamescom presentation, I watched it on IGN's YouTube channel, and I noticed at a few points it was muted for copyright, like half the Civ 7 trailer and also a little part of King of Meat. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have that same experience?
No.
I used
Christian's link.
Okay.
Same.
So you watched it off of the Game Awards YouTube channel. Hmm.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah, I wonder why they muted those parts. I missed like half the Civ 7 trailer. I don't know. I was just wondering what that was about. At first, they did it during the King of Meat trailer, and I thought it was part of the trailer. And I was like, wow, they're really committing to that. I mean, usually silence is like, you never want any silence on on a trailer or anything. But okay, so just me. Cool. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and this is my last note, Monument Valley 3 and Squid Games are going to be exclusive on Netflix. I didn't know this was a thing. Maybe this is something they're starting to do now, but exclusivity on Netflix. So in the app is the only place that you can play these games when they come out. I think Monument Valley 3 is in December. But yeah, I'm sure later they'll come out for other platforms, but that's just very strange. Like, Netflix is really trying to break into video games.
Such a good get.
How many people are going to be... How many people are going to be signing up for Netflix to play like Squid Games? But then again, who's the only people that have seen Squid Games? The people that have Netflix.
That's true.
It's a weird circle.
I think it's an opposite proposition. It's like, there's all these streaming companies. What can Netflix do to stand out from Disney Plus, you know, from Crave, from all these other things? We have video games now, you know, you're not just paying for your Netflix. You get your video games too. I think this is so cool. Was it on this podcast? I forget. Someone told me they bought a smart TV that came with Fallout 4 on it. Was that you, Emilio?
No. Nope.
That sounds insane.
But it does have Samsung game area. It has Game Pass. So I can stream to Game Pass directly from my TV. Like, okay. It has an area just for gaming.
I think it's when I went away last weekend, someone at the party was talking about they bought a TV and Fallout 4 came on it. And it was the same thing, streamed to the TV through like a cloud server. And I was just like, what are you talking about? What do you mean your TV came with Fallout 4?
What deception are you speaking of?
It seems crazy, but you know, Netflix. So
have you guys
Netflix
played
maybe
any games
had
on
game.
Netflix? I tried it out one time when I was at a friend's house. You hook up your phone like it's a controller, and a lot of the games are games where you don't need like a really quick reaction time. Some of them are though. Some of them are like puzzle,
like trivia platform games and shit.
So yeah, I don't know. Like one of them was Oxenfree. You don't really need quick response
time. I believe one and two are on there. Oxenfree. I've played the trivia game several times, and I also played this like cartoon, like cat and mouse game. It was very good. It was super funny. It was like you were playing a episode of Looney Tunes, but you chose the lesser of the two evils, like should I go underneath the burning fire or jump over the glass, like that kind of stuff. And it just plays out and it's always funny. It was really well done.
I have advice for Netflix, and I think everyone here will agree, or maybe this has already been said. You need to get Jackbox on the fucking, you do it, break their
whatever
knees.
You spend.
Yeah, that's how you, yeah.
Give them $1 billion, whatever you need. So many people play that game, and it's like, you have to the way that my family plays it is, we have to get Steam on the laptop, then we hook up the laptop to the TV with the HDMI cord, then we all pull out our phones, and it's this big thing. And by that time, the elderly people are like, what are we doing? What are we even, and it's like, get it on Netflix.
What's a
dude.
Phone?
What's a phone? Yeah.
I have diarrhea. I can't play right now.
Are we going to play Diablo?
I feel like I say it exactly the same as you guys. Diablo. Okay. Highlights. Games that we have been playing. We're moving on from Gamescom. Sorry. Any closing thoughts on great show? I think maybe we all agree, except Bobby hated 50% of the trailers that he could listen to.
The best award, I mean, the best fucking Gamescom ever, probably. Yeah. Maybe yeah. The best, maybe, it, yeah.
That's what I thought. It made me excited for the Game Awards, but I know at the Game Awards, like you guys are saying, we're going to get like Doom Mountain Dew, and it's going to be like fucking, I don't know, Chris Rock is going to come out and be like, I love Doom, and you know what else I love? Fucking Mountain, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
But
he's going to get slapped. Yeah.
I'm Kid Rock.
Jesus.
Oh, boy.
So,
yeah. I don't know. It was a good show. And we're good going show. Long, man. Woo, we're already an hour into this.
Are we already an hour?
Hurry up.
Dude,
yes.
Time
just
goes,
stop here.
Time goes by when I'm having fun.
And
should
titties.
And titties. Goodbye. And okay. Highlights games we have been playing. Bobby, start us off.
All right. I'll be quick about this. I played Soulstone Survivors this week because I wanted to compare it to Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. We've been talking a lot about that game, how great it is. And I feel like we need to go back and make sure that is this really the best Vampire Survivor like? So I'm going to say this. I like Deep Rock Galactic Survivor better. I still like it better, but Soulstone Survivors is still a lot of fun, but it's very different. It's more of a traditional Vampire Survivor game where the focus is just to kill enemies. The maps aren't very interesting. There's really not much else to do except kill enemies. Although they do have active abilities that and targeting with some of the weapons as well. So there is a little bit more to do than just some of the other VSLs where you're literally just moving the character around. Overall,
a lot of content too, like a lot of different characters and each character has three builds. I think it's 12 characters and each one has three builds. And there's a lot of variants in all of that.
Yeah, I didn't find them all to be that. I didn't really progress too far in any of the characters except for like the first one with the bow and arrow. But when I tried out all the different characters, I was like, I feel like I'm kind of just playing the same character. Like they shoot a bunch of stuff out there. There's a bunch of circles. I kill a bunch of enemies. Like I'm doing the same thing. It's just like ever so slightly different. And they're just, I guess that's my biggest complaint with Soulstone Survivors. Even though it is a lot of fun, there's not a lot of variation in the classes or in the enemies either. The enemies, there's like small ones and big ones, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Then a boss comes out and he's just got a bunch of health. And
it really is true.
Yeah. And when you get into the late game, like it can get visually very difficult to understand what's going on. It'll get absolutely crazy. I remember when I first played this game having that problem and my computer would chug. I think I had a different computer back then. Not so much of a problem now, but still like sometimes I don't understand what is going on. I'm just like, where's my cursor? Where's my character? Like
where's my cursor?
I changed my cursor's color and size for that game. I made it like a purple and I made it really big. It's kind of a game of out-crazying the crazy. because so much shit is thrown at you, you need to throw more shit at them than they're throwing at you. And at a certain point, yeah, you lose track of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it does feel super empowering when that happens. Like every 15 runs, you get this crazy combo. But yeah, it is a different game, yeah. I would say, Bobby.
Well, I feel like with these games too, you're trying to build the ultimate killing machine. And it's so helpful in DRG Survivor where you just right click and it pops up and says, this is how much reload speed you've stacked. This is how much crit you've stacked. In this game, it just shows you the icons and you hover over them and it says like, you've got two of them that give you like plus five, whatever, you know, and then like, you've got to figure it out for yourself, which is really annoying, but they do let you look at the stats so you can see how much damage each weapon is doing and you know which one is being more effective. They show you how much damage it's doing, the DPS. So that's what DRG Survivor is missing. They need to implement that. Last thing I want to say about this is the soundtrack. It's good, but it's weird. It does not fit the game at all. It's like this deep synthy grooving bass. Like it sounds like I've got different music. It just doesn't fit thematically with the game. Like at
yeah, all. I remember talking about the music of this game, mm-hmm. and I got laughed at because I was like, this desert music is like deserty and the swampy, the swampy levels like swampy music. And you're like, swampy music? Christian, I think, made fun of me.
I don't know. Maybe they do have it like somewhat geared towards the level, but it's just like, it's like that movie Witness from the early 80s. If you remember, Harrison Ford hung out with a bunch of Mennonites. Do you guys remember that one? Probably not.
You're talking to
okay.
three Dude, that people? Sounds like a fever dream.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, like...
Harrison who?
Indiana Jones goes over to... He goes to the Mennonites. He has to hide out with the Amish, and he's trying to, like... Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but he's, like, trying to, like... protect someone who's like, I don't know, witness protection or something like that.
You dug this hole, dude. You get yourself out.
No, I've got a point here. Stick with me. So what happened is like a few years before this, Chariots of Fire came out and it had that real synthy track to it, you know, da 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 da, da that one. So everybody in Hollywood's like, we got to do the synth now. That's what's in. So you've got a movie about Harrison Ford hanging out with the Amish and it's got this real synthy track and it's so weird when you watch the movie now. It just doesn't fit at all. It's the weirdest thing.
You think the Amish don't synth, dude?
They don't have a guitar. No. Yeah, they don't even have electricity. Where they go?
They're anti-synth.
Yeah,
dude, I'm the gatekeeper of the synth, not for Amish people.
No, where are they going to plug in their drum machine and their guitar, dude? They don't even use electricity. Right. Yeah, so it's very weird. It just doesn't fit at all, and that's kind of what this game is like. It's just like that type of music doesn't fit with like bows and arrows and swords and sorcery. It's just a little strange. I mean, it's not bad music, but
it's too swampy.
Bobby just tried. It's swampy. Too swampy. It's swampy. It's just, Bobby was in explaining his deep cut. He used another deeper cut. It's just like, dude, that's it.
Yeah, that was a mass grave. No, I was joking. I like the deep cut. But Bobby, I also see you left a note. When are we getting a co-op VSL? That's exactly what I was thinking with Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, dude. I was like, this game is fun. I would love for someone else to be able to join me. Yeah. You know,
it's a $1 million idea sitting right there on the table. I don't Netflix. Know why nobody's done it.
Netflix. Yo, you got it. You can use your phone for it.
I think it's going to be tough, but I think we'll see. Just because you are the center of everything that's going on, the screen moves with you. The other person would have to have their own screen, and it would have to be so
an online co-op.
Hard.
Are you, it'd that? Be an online co-op. Yeah. Or you do a split screen. Yeah. You could do it.
A split screen.
Guys, this isn't no Soulstone Survivors, but it is chess.com. Chess. I grew up on chess. Maybe this is something you guys don't know, but from the grades of 3 to 9, I was always every year second or third in the province for chess. And my next door neighbor, who is also my good friend, was either first or second. And he went on to do a bunch of cool chess things after I stopped. But after
province
I
Province being like one of our states, like you were like a semi-state.
Yes, like nine,
that's
right?
Pretty interesting, dude. Fuck.
It is. Yeah. We're from... You know, we're from a small town, so we had our regionals.
You're like a chess anchor of where,
dude, you
gotta
stop
you're from.
He loves the word anchor, folks. He just can't stop. So regionals were like, you know, I went to school with 12 other kids, which we don't have to get into right now, but obviously that was easy to pass for our regional group. And then when I went to provincials, it was always me, my next door neighbor, and this Chinese kid who usually got first. He was really good. He was exceptional. One year he got third, I got second, and my neighbor got first. And out in the hallway, you know, my dad's so proud of me. He's just such a good dad. And he's like, I'm a little disappointed. I'm like, you know, I really felt like I could have gotten first this year. And he said, you know what? This is the best you've ever done. And you practiced for like 6 or 7 months. Like, I think you should be really proud. And as we were turning the corner, this guy and his dad are talking in the hallway and he's yelling at him like loudly. And he just takes his trophy and he throws it in the garbage. The bronze trophy that I have like seven of, right, that I
20 of.
Yeah. That I honestly still look back fondly for, like, that was hard work, right in the trash. And I was like, God, people's home lives are a lot different than mine. So anyways, chess hits me in a really interesting spot. And I was scrolling my phone as you do. And I came across this guy who is making chess content. And I just want to play you a snippet of what he sounds like and what got me to eventually go on chess.com. So this is what he is.
And this is how you can win the fatty queen. Start the game by pushing the pawn to e4, taking control of the center. Dummy got no chess. He copies your homework. You hop in the pony, attacking the center pawn.
It goes on like that. He's hilarious, you know, and he's walking you through the steps in a really fun way. And I'm like, what is he playing on? What's this thing that I can like annotate on the screen? And it just seems like a really cool way to play chess. And it's chess.com. So I've been going hard on the chess.com. I'm in Woodley.
It has Elo as well, right?
Of course. Yep. It has the normal chess ranking Elo. So grandmasters, you're looking at around 2400 and above, I believe. I am ranked right now 536. My Elo is 536, so I'm way, way out of practice. And what's cool about chess is that it's cool with the kids now. Like, people make one of the most popular stream games on Twitch is chess. I texted my nephew, who's 14, and I say, is chess cool? And he said, yeah, everyone's playing chess. When I went to school, not cool. Me and my next door neighbor and the not Chinese cool. kid, you know,
we were getting pushed in lockers every day.
Yeah, not quite there, but it just wasn't cool, dude. Like, people did not really consider it a real sport. But now I go to the park and I see tons of people playing chess. And I'm like, what is that? Like, young people. And I'm like, what is happening? So this is my chess arc in my life. I'm returning to my roots. And this is just an invitation. If any of you like the game of chess, to come on down and play with me on chess.com. Someone in our Discord already friended me on there, so I know you're out there. And by the way, this is a reminder that I did beat Bobby in chess in 3 turns at the first DLG con, just in case anyone forgot. I haven't forgotten, but just in case anyone out there has forgot. Okay.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers did 22 years in jail, and he is a bad motherfucker. I've never seen him lose at chess. He challenges everybody. It's just like, hey, how's it going? Hey, my name's this. Your name's that. Hey, do you play chess? He'll just challenge everybody. Challenge the world.
Dude. I think the characters that play chess are almost as interesting as the game itself, you know? Like, you can have anyone behind that board. You don't know. You don't know if they're going to try to scam you, if they're reaching over, switching pieces while they make you look at the other hand and trying to get $20 out of you. You don't know if they're like an old grandmaster. My friend's uncle was a chess grandmaster, which is why he was so good at chess. He was like taught from a very young age, but he was like a carpenter or something. Like, you never would have expected him to be good at chess. So yeah, chess is cool, guys. Chess is still cool, but it's not as cool as Emilio's game. Maybe
Nova Drift. I've definitely talked about this before, but it hit 1.0. So it's definitely worth bringing it up, and it's gained in popularity since I've talked about it. So it is 11,000 positive reviews, overwhelmingly positive. 95% of people that play this click the like button. which is very impressive. It's basically Asteroids for today. It's like as roguelike things in it. It's you're building your character, your weaponry and shields out as you play. There's only technically three things you can do. You can boost, you can spin, and you can shoot ally asteroids. That's what Asteroids was like. Like, you don't have traditional up, down, left, right controls. So that adds to the difficulty, but you can get good at that. It also has the Pac-Man mechanic, where if you go out the right side of the screen, you come out the left side, which is great for you, but terrible for the enemies, because they're like, what? Every time, they're like, ooh. They have to turn around and like...
you defied space and time. Yeah.
And it's like basically the only thing you have going for yourself, because everything is so overpowered. There is so many builds in this game. I just recently started playing for 1.0. There's even more stuff. There's more enemy types. And when I say enemy types, it's just not like blue triangles versus pink triangles. Like, they're definitely like, yeah, you know what they are by their shape, but there is a lot of variance in the way they attacked and how you have to handle them. Unless you have like some crazy build going on where you could just burn right through everything and not really care, which does happen. That's the beauty of roguelikes. Every once in a while you get something refreshing, you know. So just some builds I'll just throw out there that I've done in the past. I got a like Spectre build where you disappear and they can't detect you, and I also built that with a very strong drone build. So there's this drone that just goes out and fights for you, kind of, and I realized that, oh my god, I just made a like a classic tank and rogue build. Like the little robot was my tank, and I would just come up behind them and backstab them. This is a spaceship game, guys, but I realized that's what I was doing. You know, I was like stealthing, coming out of stealth and just backstabbing and killing things, and I was like, that is so cool that you could do that. Now they literally put swords in the game. You have like around your spaceship, you can just like two giant like lightsabers are your weapons. There's a bunch of traditional things like salvo missiles, there's just regular lasers, there's rail guns. I mean, if you can think of it, pulse cannons, they do it in here. And not, and you compare each one of those weapons with a hull and the spacecraft itself, and those all have a crazy amount of things that those do, and then a shield type. So those are your three archetypes, and you could play this 100 times and not have the same build twice. It's, and they're all, you never feel like I'll never do this again. I always feel like, oh, I fucked up. Like, I definitely got hit by that laser. It wasn't the build, or I wasn't killing fast enough. So that's what keeps me coming back. It's the perfect Steam Deck game, but I was playing it on PC today, and fantastic.
How much, or how long are the rounds? Is it like pretty quick, year in or out?
Very quick, very quick. I play it on the hardest difficulty, but each time you level up, the difficulty, you are increasing the XP that you get from enemies. So like if you put on the easiest level, you might have to kill 7 enemies to level up once. The way that I play, the very first speck of a bad guy that I kill, I level up, and I'm leveling up like crazy. So you're trying to outspeed the difficulty, and that's how you get the higher scores as well. I'm maybe the only game that I've played in the last 5 years that I care about the high score. Like, I always see my 900,000 and I'm always like, fuck, I think I can beat that.
Time for me to download and try to do one better. Let's go.
yeah. Dude, it's on sale right now for $12, I think, US.
Cool.
Fuck, if Christian was on this podcast, I would have to say US, but you are here.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Anyway, it's just one of those games that it's a very good video game. You know?
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. $14.39.
Sounds great. I want to play it. I want to get the high score. It's
20% off.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I might just, you know what? I'm going to buy this for you right now so you stop playing chess.
Dude, I'm so... Where I was at the pharmacy the other day, about to get a vaccine, and they're like, that'll be a 10-minute wait. I'll be like, I could play a game of Blitz. And I sat down. They were like, sir, your pharmacy... I was like, I got 2 more minutes on the clock. Sorry, just... I'll be right there.
Just give me a second. Yeah. Move my rook.
I won that game too. Fuck, that was good. Ah, the highs from chess. Anyways, Phasmophobia, Nicholas.
So, speaking of highs, Phasmophobia has been, for anyone who hasn't played in a while, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, they implemented weekly challenges. And the nice thing about weekly challenges is most of the time they tie into the previous week. So last week's previous challenge was that you had level 3 everything for your gear. And what ends up happening is that when you're hunting the ghost, whenever the ghost hunts, it slows down immensely. But the thing is, it knows where you are at all times. And so it's very hard to find out what kind of ghost it is based off of behavior. You have to use the actual evidences and things like that. But it also hunts more often once you go below 50%. This week's challenge was the opposite. So the ghost is twice as fast, but it doesn't know where you are, and you're given level 2 stuff. And the reason why I mention this is that if you are one of those people that play Phasmophobia only during October, because there's a lot of people that do that, they only play Phasmophobia during the you know, spooky Halloween season and stuff.
Spooky season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would suggest just literally logging in once a week. Just to do these weeklies, because one weekly will level you up 2 to 3 times, and you'll progress way faster than just playing in the normal mode or anything. And it just ends up being this really nice catch-up mechanic for a lot of people who haven't played in a while. Like, I have a buddy that plays every week, and he's been doing the weekly for the past since they invented it, and he's... I can't remember what level he is, but he's three times the high, higher level than I am. And I'm level 42, and it ends up being you're like, oh, why would I want to level up in the game and make it easier? What ends up happening is you can play at the hardest difficulty. And that is the pinnacle of Phasmophobia. The way that the hardest difficulty works is that instead of giving three evidences, you're only given 2, and you have to use the, ghost's interactions as your final evidence to kind of determine what you're doing. And usually you can't even you're choosing between 1 or 2, because of that. And, check it out. There's going to be a huge update apparently at the end of September. We're moving into September now, and that's why I wanted to mention it. Because the game's going to console. So, keep on the eye out for a huge Phasmophobia update.
Sure. Cool. Play the weeklies or play once in October and get Nick and Bobby to outfit my character and low-key troll the experience. I mean, I'm in Phasmophobia for all the right reasons, I think, but it's good.
I will definitely buy you whatever you want. I'm currently rich.
Thank you. Thanks, Poppy. Okay, the game where you make money guessing a video game sound. This one's gonna be quick, guys. This is the sound you're guessing out there. Same sound as every week. You don't got it in yet to win the $50 that's in the pot. I don't believe in you, but I could be wrong. You know, email pixelshitshow@gmail.com. If you happen to know the what that sound was, Emilio, Bobby, and Nick have unlocked 2 hints for you. It's a mech and 90s. So those are the 2 hints. You know, take it easy. This week we have a guest from Robot Humper. He says, or they say, pulsar cannons from the ship from AD 2044. What do we feel about that guess, guys?
I don't know what that is.
No idea.
I've never heard of that game in my life.
I do want to explain something. When guesses come in and they sound like that has nothing to do with the hints, it's because they're chosen at random, and some of those random choices are from before those hints were given out. Correct, Christian?
Sometimes that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But this is a mech game from the 90s. I looked it up. AD 2044. It's like some Polish adventure game, I think. I didn't hear about it either. But just Google it and you'll be met with some really... these mechs are female-bodied and bodacious. I think that's the right word.
Buxom.
They're
the
very. These are some curvy.
What's the name of the game?
Pieces of metal. AD 2044. Yeah, just look that up. By the way, Robot Humper.
Shorty.
Not correct. That means $50 in the pot right now. Next week, there's going to be $55 in the pot. Again, email pixelshitshow@gmail.com to guess. This week, Bobby, Emilio, and Nick have a chance to unlock a hint that'll help you guess. And it's a really simple game. It's just you three have to guess. That's so stupid. Okay, I did prepare a proper game, so I was frantically workshopping with Bobby. I say, Bobby, what's a good game? Bobby was as helpful as he could be, but what I eventually settled on was just guess my last Google search history within like categories. So whatever category you think that I've guessed.
Sure.
And you, yep.
Steam Marketplace. Marketing.
Okay, Nick, what's
not
your
marketplace
guess?
Steam page marketing, that's what I meant.
Okay,
checking for chess games on Steam.
Oh, ooh, you're right,
that could be good.
Right.
Bobby,
so we have to guess a genre or like a category. Is video games too broad?
Bodacious mechs.
I feel like AD 2044 might have been the last thing you just Googled. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
in your face.
Oh.
Deletes it from his history.
It wasn't. Unfortunately, that's not the last thing that I Googled in the search history. So no hint this week, guys.
That is correct.
That's not correct. My last Google search was how to download an Instagram reel. Which is how I played.
And this is how you can win the...
Our good friend, you know, how to get the Fatty Queen, which I love how he calls him the Fatty
Queen.
What's
that guy's elo, by the way?
Oh, he's a grandmaster. Yeah, he streams.
Is he really? Sure.
Yeah, he streams on Twitch. He makes content. Like, that's his full-time job. Yeah. Yeah, and he's hilarious and a great player. Cool. Subs and Donos got nothing. Listener questions, Bobby. What do we got?
First question is coming from Burn Division. He says, you can only listen to one game soundtrack for 24 hours. What's your choice?
Hmm.
Oh, I got this in the bag. The Metal Gear Solid 5 soundtrack. There's like 90 songs from like the 80s and late 70s and early 90s in that game. So yeah, it's such a robust soundtrack that I probably won't be bored all day.
I'm going to go with The Binding of Isaac only because I've played it for 1,000 hours and I'm still not sick of any of it. I still enjoy those songs. I do.
That's awesome.
Dude, I just played that last night with Leslie and we beat the beast on our first try.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Amazing.
I turn the music off on all the games I play.
So. I was just going to say, what is
fucking sociopath.
Hear Deep Rock Galactic has a good soundtrack. And from what I remember, it's like mood music. You know, it's not, it's
music.
It's good for the background. So if you're listening to something for 24 straight hours, I think something like that would be good.
Yeah. I have a stupid answer, which is Rock Band, all the Rock Band songs. Whenever I hear a song on
that
the radio,
I know
it's just okay. Hold on. Whenever I listen to a song on the radio and a Rock Band song comes on, like I associate it with Rock Band before, like the band, or even if it's like a super popular song, it's like, oh, that song is on Rock Band. I experted guitar fucking drums to that. But my real answer is the Hades soundtrack because the songs are very long, and there's hardcore ones and then soft. Nice vocal ones that calm you down. And I just think having a variance in what you're listening to for 24 hours might be nice.
For sure.
Hmm. For sure.
That's why I like putting the Hades soundtrack in Counter-Strike 2. It's so nice. It's just like you can
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you can play that CD. Or you can play, there's a lot of other ones, but that's the one that I choose.
It's in the blood. We saw that live, guys. Never forgetting, right? Let's go.
Nick, I am curious how... Because all I play is deathmatch, I'm curious how you would do against me in deathmatch. We should try it sometime. And I also
for Counter-Strike.
Yeah, and I only ever play two maps, so it's very specific.
Sure, buddy.
Come into
play
my
you want.
Pool, and we'll see.
Yeah, we can play whatever you want, dude.
All right.
All right. Final question from Ender's Logic. Who's that? Great episode,
guys. Who
the
fuck is that guy?
I enjoyed
it. Who the
fuck
is that guy?
I thought it was Ender's Logic.
I can't even pronounce it. Excuse me. Logic who? What does it mean?
What does it mean? He says, my question is, how much of a void do you guys feel when I'm not here? Because when I'm listening, there are several moments where I am triggered to respond, but of course I'm not there to deliver. For example, Bobby says, I don't know anything about mechs. Christian says, mechs are not a strong suit. And Emilio would have said, but mechs are a strong suit.
I was yelling. I still laugh.
I was yelling at my earbuds.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
It's pretty good.
You were yelling at your car. You were like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's other places that like, I'm like, oh, they're completely wrong here. They're completely wrong. They need to be set straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
To answer the question, by the way, I'm weird about this, right? I actually think someone missing from the podcast, like once a month or something like that is quite a refresher. I know some of the podcasts I watch whenever someone's missing and they fill somebody in, is always like a highlight. You're like, oh, what is this? This is some new shit, new taste, you know, new opinions and stuff like that. So yeah, if we ever did that's like a nice take. You know, people go on vacations, people get sick, people have life experiences, and people got work, people got whatever. And I think whenever someone either drops or comes in is nice, because like there might not be the deepest of conversations with four people, but if it's just me and Sniper, like, we just did an episode for the Magic the Gathering podcast, completely different from the normal, like episode, but it's super entertaining. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think when someone's missing, I miss you. Of course, I miss talking to my uncle.
You guys didn't.
I miss talking
like
to Bobby.
Yeah, it definitely didn't seem like there was a void, for sure. You guys had no problems. There was no gaps. There was more gaps in this episode where I was here.
But I don't think that's to do with you. I feel
that's what they
a
call
void
me,
when
the gap.
When I think we've done this so many times, us four, that when someone is missing, there is something missing, you know, like there is just that.
Yeah.
Amelia didn't come with a smart car. Nick didn't talk about Warhammer. I'm saying that in a loving way. Like, I think we all do add something. Bobby didn't tell a joke that brought the house down. I mean, that happens almost every episode. Like, it just, you know, it's sad. So, yeah. I missed you. Ender's
like
Logic, whoever you are.
Of, you know, before COVID, we were really getting into the habit of having guests on. Maybe that's something worth exploring again. That was fun. But
yeah,
I don't know. That can be confusing too.
And how? What do we all play next week? Oh,
everybody
wow. Oh, I'm playing Vacation and playing and hanging out with my friends. That's what I'm doing. Literally the whole week.
Oh, right. You're in Denver.
Oh, yeah. I won't be here either. It might just be a two-man show next week.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
You guys might want to ask get a guest. Days.
Yeah, you might want to ask Days.
There you go.
Speaking of guest. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll have to ask someone. Are you in Denver too, Emilio? Is that where you're going?
No, I'm going to Mexico for Sam's birthday.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're going to Mexico, by the way. Don't ever think that it's Emilio going like Central Mexico.
It's
literally like an hour away from
away.
His house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
25 minutes and I'm in Mexico.
Hmm. Oh, this is a birdwalker. I know we're going long, but there was this like popular Instagram travel blogger, and they went to that House of the Dead that you took me to, Emilio, Bobby, remember? Sam drove by that House of the Dead, like haunted house in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a pause there because I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And they were like, this is the most interesting. They were like really building it up as like this amazing thing. And then I remember going, I was like, it wasn't, I mean, it was cool, but it was just like a weird looking house.
That's
like,
what you call being in the life of an influencer and being paid for stuff.
Exactly. Instagram versus real life moment. I'm going to play a lot of chess.com, but also I'm going to check out Nova Drift to see if I can beat Emilio's high score of 900,000. You said it was?
Yeah, 900 something thousand. I don't know exactly. But yeah, okay, cool. I know because it's not a million, and that's what bothers me.
I'll go for a million just to bother you. Easy. All right.
Rusty Bagels sent me an invite to playtest Deadlock, so I'll be checking that out this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got one too. I forgot about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's Steam's MOBA?
That's Valve's new game, yeah.
Is it a MOBA?
hero shooter.
It's a hero shooter, but it. Yeah, but it also has like some minion aspects to it, so it's kind of more like a MOBA. I don't know. It seems interesting.
Yeah, cool. That should be good.
All right. Did everybody speak? Yes. Right. All right. Speaking for Nick, Bobby, Christian, and myself, Diablo titties.
Miyagi says in Twitch chat, love this podcast, by the way. Been listening before Comancho. I don't know who Comancho is. That's a problem for me.
Del Macho.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.